This is Karen Ramsey of Super Healthy Children, and I am here with my longtime friend and mentor, Dr. Douglas Graham, who I met like some 16 years ago.
Long time.
And Dr. Graham spoke for my New Jersey group, the New Jersey Raw Food Support Network, this evening. And I have a few questions that we didn't discuss.
Let's do it.
First of all, people have asked me before, especially at the Woodstock Fruit Festival, about your 80-10-10 philosophy, low-fat, raw vegan, for children.
Right.
And I wanted to get your take on that because my children, when they were growing up with vegan and raw foods, they tended to eat mostly fruits and vegetables, but there were times when they did really want a lot more of the overt fats, and I often found that during those times they were having growth spurts. And so I wanted to get
your... I haven't found that any correlation between growth spurts and fat consumption other than the increased need for calories. So if kids eat the same as they always ate, and they need more calories, they're going to get them from somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't really recommend the 80-10-10 ratio for young children.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's milk is 50% fat, and in the decade or so that it takes, you know, around the world, the world average for weaning is about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's hard for people in the Western world to comprehend, but the world average is about 9 years. And
I've talked about that also, that we
so
need to let our children
It's
eat.
A very gradual mm-hmm. weaning. Obviously, they're not still using the mother as a tremendous calorie source.
Mm-hmm.
But kids definitely need a bit more fat. There's still a lot of neurological development that depends on more fat. And so I'm not particularly concerned if a child takes 5 or 10 years to wean gradually from 50 to 48 to 45 to 40 to 35 to 35, and just gradually, you don't have to monitor it all that closely. They will gradually, if they're seeing parents eating fruits and vegetables, then they'll eat fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not seeing that model of people eating fruits and vegetables, it's going to be a lot harder to get your kids to eat fruits and vegetables.
Oh, exactly.
But if they're seeing that, that's the direction they're going to go. And if they want to eat some more nuts, or they want to eat more seeds, or they want to eat more fatty fruits, or they want to eat fatty sources,
you have to have it all available.
It's all available. The kid,
right.
I pretty much trust my daughter as far as what does she want, pretty much. But I still give her some guidance now and then. If she comes up with a combination that is going to drive her stomach crazy, I'm going to tell her in advance, you know, that's going to taste good, but it's not going to digest
good.
It's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all you've had today is fatty things. Would you like to have some vegetables? Would you like to have some fruit? But she loves her fruit. She loves her vegetables. So it's usually not a problem
right.
with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Take the first decade
right.
and wean them down to 80-10-10.
Mm-hmm. And so now a little bit different topic. K2, vitamin
yeah.
K2,
yeah.
is a big question that I get from parents frequently wanting to ask me what my view is on vitamin K2. I've recently written an article on it,
mm-hmm.
But I would also like to get your take because I did listen to a Tooth Summit where there were many speakers, authors giving recommendations that we need to have, give our children cod liver oil and grass-fed butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then we're virtually saying that we cannot raise our children as healthy vegans.
Right.
And I don't believe that.
No, nor do I, nor does the... Nor do the various organizations around the world who have made strong statements, World Health Organization and many others, American Dietetics Association as well, who have made strong statements that there's no nutrient that you cannot get in a healthy or well thought out or planned vegan diet or raw vegan diet where there's no specific nutrient that's not in abundance sufficient to meet our needs. It's an interesting thing though, as long as there's people worrying about problems that are very often cooked fooders' problems on a raw food diet, then you're worrying about things that are really non-issues.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get your plenty of K from your vegetables. It's just that most people don't even imagine in their wildest dreams how much vegetables raw fooders actually eat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you're not eating all these other things, you can
focus
on fruits and
vegetables. No question, you eat a lot of vegetables.
And in actuality, there's fruit also that has vitamin K1 that gets converted
to K2.
It's
the same thing with protein. It's the same thing with pretty much any nutrient. I mean, fruit is very low in protein, but when you're eating lots and lots of fruit, then you're getting sufficient protein. Vegetables aren't a lot higher. They're in the teens usually in terms of protein, but when you're eating lots of vegetables, you are getting a fair amount of protein as well. So it's easy to get 50, 60 grams of protein, which is, I mean, basically if you're over 25 grams of protein, you've more than met your needs. Most people say it'd be difficult to get into protein problems on less than 15 grams.
Right.
On more than 15 grams, you're probably safe. If you go down under 15 grams, you might be having, and I'm consuming usually between 50 to 75 grams of protein every day. I've done the math, but I don't worry about it. I don't eat for the nutrients. I don't eat for the calories. I don't eat in order to get my protein. I mean, I'm strictly eating because the food tastes good.
Right.
And, you know, I eat a banana for all the banana that's in it, not for any specific nutrient.
Mm-hmm.
No, I eat
when
fruits
eat
and vegetables.
Pulse.
I have no nutritional concerns. If a person, it doesn't mean a person can't get into a nutritional problem or a deficiency problem. And if they have a deficiency, they have to deal with that, which might include supplementation. It might include some modification of diet. It usually means we've got to find out why did they go deficient. Was it a rebound phenomenon that they just stopped doing something? Or is it because they're experiencing a tremendous amount of stress or anti-nutrient or anti-vitamin exposure from
the
environment?
A lot of people don't realize that there are environmental influences.
Yeah, lots of
that
environmental
anti-nutrients.
Of course there are. Of course there are. So we have to look at what's going on in a person's lifestyle.
Well, thank you so much, Dr.
Graham. You know, it's always a treat
to
see you.
It's wonderful
to
have you here.
It's a treat to see you looking really, really well.
Oh,
you're looking really good, and
thank you.
That's as it should be. I'm glad 8-10-10 is working
good.
For you, too.
I feel good.
Yeah, I feel great. Go to health, everybody, and eat your fruits and vegetables.